When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBall Fantasy on Twitter now. Check it out. Give us a follow. Get your tools and win your league.
It's Thursday, June 15th. Do you know what day it is? It's Today in Sports. Hello and welcome to middle of June, where it's all baseball all the time for the next while. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me at Doug_Reed34 on Twitter. This is Sports Ethos presentation, and if you haven't already, please check out our website, sportsethos.com. A ton of information, whether it's wagering, which the group I head up, or fantasy sports, or DFS across all four major sports, tennis, F1 coverage, disc golf coverage. We have everything that you could be interested in. Lots of free information and some very reasonable packages. I definitely suggest you go there, check us out, and you'll definitely find something that you can enjoy and get some value from. Before we get to the 10-game Major League Baseball slate, let's just see what has happened on June 15th in sports history. Way back 95 years ago, 1928, Ty Cobb of the Philadelphia Athletics steals home for the 54th time. 54 times. Everybody went bananas tonight when Isaiah Kiner-Falefa did it for the Yankees against the Mets in the Subway Series. Ty Cobb did it 54 times. Pretty sure that record will not be touched, not even close to be touched. Let's get a little more current. 2001, the LA Lakers beat the 76ers 186 in Game 5 to win back-to-back NBA titles, and Shaq received his second straight MVP. A couple years later, this is a good night for San Antonio. 2003 and 2014, they won the NBA championship. In 03, they beat the New Jersey Nets 88-77 in Game 6 to win their second title. Tim Duncan won the MVP. And 11 years later, they beat the Miami Heat in Game 5, 104-87, to win their fifth title. And Kawhi Leonard won the MVP there. Back to 2004 in the NBA, Detroit beats the Lakers 100-87 in Game 5, Chauncey Billups MVP. And people think this is one of the biggest upsets in NBA history. The Lakers were heavily favored, and Detroit not only won, but won in five games. Onto the ice, 2011. Boston beat Vancouver 4-0 in Game 7 at Vancouver to end a 39-year Stanley Cup drought for the Bruins. 2015, Also on the ice, Chicago beat Tampa 2-0 in Game 6 to win their sixth title. And in 2019, I found this quite interesting. Babe Ruth jersey sold for $5.64 million. Not sure who bought it. It was an auction. I think it was an unannounced bidder. But $5.64 million for a Babe Ruth jersey. That's pretty cool. Birthdays today, June 15th. Today, Wade Boggs, one of the greatest hitters, I think, in baseball, certainly in the 80s and 90s. A guy who never sold out for power. Kind of like an early version of Ichiro Suzuki, maybe. Because they always said he could hit for a lot more power if he ever wanted to. Instead, he just went up the middle, opposite field, and was a fantastic hitter. Wade Boggs turns 65 today. Tim Lincecum turns 39, and that means I'm getting old because my boy Timmy Ballgame was a huge part of my Giants' success a number of years ago when they won 3 World Series. And the fact that he's 39 years old means that I'm getting a little older too. And Cooper Kupp, the LA Rams wide receiver, one of the best in the game, turns 30 today. So happy birthday, Wade Boggs, Tim Lincecum, and Cooper Kupp. Going to take a quick break and get ready for all the games on the diamond. 10 of them, not a huge slate, but a decent-sized slate tonight. Yeah, this afternoon and tonight, and we'll get there in a second.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back. We hit the diamond in Baltimore, where the Orioles host the Blue Jays in the rubber match of this series. Toronto won tonight, and Baltimore won on Tuesday. So for the Jays, you get lefty Yusei Kikuchi going, and for the Orioles, you get Tyler Wells. The O's at home are minus 125. The Jays on the road, plus 105. Total here is 9. Minus 110. On both sides. I'm seeing a little bit more money come in on the over. And I actually lean towards the under. Kikuchi comes in 66 in the third innings, 4.34 ERA, 1.34 whip. Tyler Wells comes in 75 innings, 3.24 ERA, and a 0.85 whip. And Kikuchi's a lefty in Baltimore, in Camden Yards. A lefty is the way you want to pitch, for sure, with the left field fences moved back. Baltimore's been hitting well, but I think it's going to be a challenge for them to put up some runs. And Tyler Wells, you know, I like Tyler Wells at first blush. I thought he's been doing well, but I didn't realize how well he's been doing. When I looked a little deeper, he comes in with a 3.24 ERA, but a 3.28 expected ERA. So basically, right in line with his numbers, comes in with a 0.85 whip, 75 innings, 74 strikeouts. 0.85 whip is fantastic. And 3.24 ERA, which is right at the expected level of ERA as well. Again, in Baltimore, pitcher's park, the way they've redesigned it, and travel day, games at 105 in the East. You can see a couple players sitting out for both teams, typical Thursday travel day kind of thing. And I think this game goes under. I'm not necessarily on it, but at minus 110, I definitely think the under is the play. Next game, 3:37 in Eastern time in Oakland. We have the A's facing the Rays. And Oakland had, what, a 7-game win streak, broken tonight by Tampa Bay. You can get the road Rays at minus 205 in the money line, the home Athletics at plus 175. Total here is 9, juicy under at minus 120. And I think that's because it's a pretty good pitcher's duel, which you don't hear very often with Oakland, but I think this is. Taz Bradley, the young righty, goes for Tampa. 38 and two-thirds innings, 4.19 ERA, 1.27 whip. 52 strikeouts in 38 and two-thirds innings, which is very impressive for the young kid. Paul Blackburn, the righty for Oakland, 15 innings, 3.60 ERA, 1.33 whip. And hard to get a read on that in 15 innings, but a good, I would say, league average, maybe even slightly better than league average pitcher. And Oakland's coming in with some confidence, obviously, but can't back them at plus 175. Tampa's a better team, better starting pitcher. Should be better bullpen, but the bullpen for Tampa's actually struggled. And traditionally one of the top bullpens in the majors right now, not so much, although Oakland's bullpen, I think, is in terms of ERA, is the worst in the majors. So I like Tampa. Run line, minus 120, so they have to win by two. Maybe there's value. Nah, there's no value there. I'm not taking a minus 120 run line. And the total juice to the under, a total of nine juice to the under at minus 120. I might look there, but the way both teams, the way the A's have been hitting and Tampa is an elite offense, obviously, I'm not going to touch that number either. I think they could get to 8, 9, 10 runs, so stay away from me. Next game is in Arizona where the D-backs host the Phillies. You can get the road Phillies at minus 125 as a favorite and the home D-backs at plus 105. Total here is 9, juice to the over at minus 120, and 4. Let's do the pitching matchup first. For the road Phillies, you get Aaron Nola, 88 innings, 4.60 ERA, 1.1 whip, 84 strikeouts, so just under strikeout many. And Ryan with a Y, R-Y-N-E, Nelson, the righty for Arizona, 67 and third innings, 4.95 ERA, 1.46 whip goes. Just 41 strikeouts in 67 and a third innings, so not getting a lot of swing and miss. And that's kind of been his, I don't want to say his problem, but he's had a decent year, but not putting up a lot of great stats. And because of that, I'm actually on the Phillies' first five over 2.5 runs at plus 105. I just think the Phillies, the way they've been hitting, they can get the Nelson. And his numbers year to date, 4.95 ERA, like I said, 1.46 whip. His expected ERA is 4.97. He does not have a high strikeout ratio, 14.2 K percentage. And he's been giving up some pretty, fairly decent hard hits. I just think that they can get to him. The Phillies bats have been doing well lately, and I think Nelson is someone who could – sorry, I mean, I think he's someone who can keep them in the game, but if Nola shuts down the D-backs, I think Nelson's going to be able to give up 4 or 5 runs on his own if he can get through 5 or 6 innings. So I think Philly can get to them. Not a lot of analytics here other than his numbers aren't that great. And I think he is hittable, and Philly's been hitting well. So I'm going to take the first five, especially as plus money. Happy to get the plus 105 with the Phillies on that play. The next game, 7-10 in the East. Detroit is in Minnesota for the AL Central, for this AL Central series. You get the home Twins at minus 200, the road Tigers at plus 170. Total here is 8. And right now, juice to the under, minus 115, minus 120. I got a minus 110, and I would actually play this anywhere up to or down to probably about minus 115. And the reason being, Sonny Gray is on the hill for Minnesota, and he is, I think he's a Cy Young contender. He's only got 4-1 record, which is odd, but 72 innings, 2.25 ERA, 1.25 whip, 76 strikeouts. 26 walks, which is a little high, but 1.25 whip is decent, could be better, but he's been really, really good this year. On the flip side, Matthew Boyd, 58 and a third innings, 5.55 ERA, 1.35 whip. Obviously not good numbers. But Minnesota is terrible against lefties. And let me explain. As far as batting average, against left-handed pitching, Minnesota is the 28th out of 30 teams with a .222 batting average. Their on-base percentage, .299, puts them 28th, so the third worst team. Slugging percentage of .377 puts them 26th. So they can't get on. Terrible batting average, can't get on base, and not hitting for any power against lefties. Matthew Boyd is a pretty league average lefty to me. Actually, you know what? He's probably been worse than league average. He's not doing that well. But I think he will have the ability to limit the Twins a little. And Sonny Gray has been dominant. And I think should be able to limit the Tigers on the flip side. So anything under 8, don't really want to lay the minus 120. If you can get it for minus 115 or better, I would be on that. And I'm actually on this at minus 110. I got a DraftKings earlier in the day. Next game, 7:20 in the East. We have Colorado in Atlanta. Atlanta comes in as the prohibitive favorites at minus 240. The Rockies plus 200. Total here is 9. Juice to the under, minus 120. Which means money's coming in the under. I'm actually going to go a little contrarian here, and I'm going to go on the over. When I look at it's a little bit of reverse splits going on. Reverse line movement. When I look at line open at 8.5, and it's up to 9 now, and I see 77% of the bets and 97% of the money on the over, which means all the money's coming in the over. But that's probably more at 8.5. And the reason is the pitching matchup. For Colorado, you have Kyle Freeland, the lefty, 76 innings, 3.91 ERA, 1.26 whip. Not terrible numbers, but just 49 strikeouts. But we're going to get to that in a second. We're not going to get to that. I mean, Atlanta hits lefties very, very well. For Atlanta, you have A.J. Smith Shauver, 7.2 innings, 0 ERA, 0.78 whip. And that is across two starts, I think. I was going to say one. He pitched in relief, and then he started last week and had a good start. Trying to pull this up. Why is this not coming up? But anyways, he's done well, good prospect, but his underlying stats are not fantastic. Short sample size. Had a huge strikeout total in the minors, but he's playing in Double A where they had they're experimenting with the pre-tacked ball. So they're trying to give pitchers a ball that they don't have to worry about foreign substances and all that substances. So his strikeout totals were a little inflated in the minors, came up, he did well in his one relief appearance, and then I think he pitched five and a third innings and got the win. Didn't get the win, but pitched well in his one start. So the general feeling, obviously, is that Colorado can get through this young prospect. Now, against righties, Colorado has the best average in baseball, .268. Now, these numbers are a little tempered, though, because they're in Colorado. But against righties, best hitting team in baseball with .268 average. And their on-base percentage is ninth best, .329. Slugging percentage, .416. Again, that's probably boosted. Well, it is boosted a little by Coors Field, which is 14th best. So definitely above average against righties. The flip side of this is against lefties, which Kyle Freeland is. Atlanta has the best batting average at. Second best batting average. Tied for the best batting average. Sorry, I should get my stats correct. At .295. Tied with Miami, believe it or not. Against lefties, Atlanta and Miami are the best teams as far as batting average. On-base percentage, .352. Second best in baseball behind Texas. And slugging percentage, Atlanta is the best at .540. So Atlanta can hit lefties really well. Colorado hits righties really well, although maybe Coors Field bump there. So runs should be scored. Smith-Shauver has looked good in his brief appearances, but hard to really say what he could do. So two teams who hit the opposite-handed pitching or the pitching they're going against really well. I think they can score runs, and happy to get this at plus money. So I like the Braves to win, but not a minus 240. And even in the run line, minus 120, I'm not going to be on that. So taking the total here over 9 is the play for me. Next game, 805 in the East. Now, I actually think this is probably the best pitcher's duel of the night. And I'm going to try to check this game out. We have the LA Angels in Texas to continue their series against the Rangers, two AL West division foes. Texas minus 130 in the money line. You can get the Angels at plus 110. Total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 120. And for Texas, I think their de facto ace is on the hill, Nathan Eovaldi. 9-2 record, 86 and two-thirds innings, 2.49 ERA, 0.98 whip. That's right, 0.98 whip. This guy has been a stud all year long, has very few blemishes along the way. And who's going against him? Shohei Ohtani. 76 innings, 3.32 ERA, 1.04 whip, 102 strikeouts. This should be fun to watch. Now, the total is 8, juice to the over. Ohtani struggled a little lately, and Eovaldi has been very consistent. I like Texas. I don't want to lay 130. Their run line is plus 150. If this gets down to minus 110, minus 115 in the morning or pregame, I'm definitely on Texas. Stay away from me. It's going to be fun to watch. I like Eovaldi and Texas bats over Ohtani. I mean, straight up, I think I almost like Eovaldi right now straight up over Ohtani, as crazy as that sounds. But I definitely like the Texas bats over LA. So if I can get a better number, I'm on the Rangers. Houston at 8-10 in the East hosts the Washington Nationals, the home Stros, minus 210 in the money line. You can get the Nationals plus 180. Totally, there's 8.5. Juice the under at minus 120. Obviously, a bit of a pitcher's duel. And I think this is probably the second best. I actually think this is the second best pitcher's duel because I really like Mackenzie Gore for Washington. He comes in 6-9 innings, 4.04 ERA, 1.39 whip, 83 strikeouts in 6-9 innings, doing fantastic there, but 29 walks. This has always been his Achilles heel. If this kid can ever figure it out. Cameron Sandiego had a great start last year, then struggled, got sent down, got traded in the Juan Soto deal. If he can ever figure out his walks, his control, he is going to be elite. Not there yet. On the flip side, speaking of elite, is Christian Javier. The righty. 7-1, 74 and two-thirds innings, 3.13 ERA, 1.06 whip, 74 strikeouts. So basically a strikeout inning, just 19 walks. I like Houston, but can't lay minus 210. And even on the run line at home, minus 105, maybe there's some value there. Mackenzie Gore, I like. He's probably going to pitch well against Houston. Maybe a strikeout prop because Houston tends to strike out a lot. And if the Stros can get into Washington bullpen, I could see them getting some runs. So maybe I just don't like laying home team minus juice on the run line. So going to be a stay away from me. The next game, second last game of the night, is in San Diego where we have the Flying Fathers, the Padres, hosting the Guardians. You can get the Padres minus 150, the Guardians plus 130. Total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 115. And I'm not really sure it should be juice to the over, although looking at the splits, yeah, not a whole lot of money coming in either way. For San Diego, Ryan Weathers, the young lefty, gets to start 38 and a third innings, 4.93 ERA, 1.49 whip. Going against him is another lefty, Logan Allen, for Cleveland. 51 and two-thirds innings, 3.31 ERA, 51 strikeouts, which is impressive, so a strikeout inning, and 1.39 whip. Been hit a little harder lately. And I'm waiting for San Diego to put it all together and their lineup to explode, and they're just not. And I think that's why this line is 8 and juice to the over. So money obviously coming into the over. Logan Allen's been good, but not great. And same for Ryan Weathers. The problem is Cleveland's offense is brutal. Just, you know, no other way to put it than brutal. And they're probably not going to score a lot of runs. Against lefties, Cleveland has a 234 batting average, which, 234 batting average, which puts them 25th in baseball, 306 on base percentage against lefties, which puts them 25th in baseball, and a 362 slugging percentage against lefties, which puts them 29th in baseball. They are terrible against lefties. Now, the question is, how long does Ryan Weathers last? Probably not all that long. And when we go the other way, how has San Diego been doing against lefties? Obviously better. Everybody's pretty much doing better, but not great. 254 batting average puts them 16th, so basically mid-pack. 323 on-base percentage puts them, again, 16th. Well, tied for 15th, tied with Arizona. Tied for 14th, actually, tied with the Dodgers, who are moving up here. So very much mid-pack. And a 450 slugging percentage against lefties puts them a little above average, actually 5th. So they've got some power against lefties, but basically San Diego is a league average against lefties, and Cleveland is one of the worst teams against lefties. So I'm not really sure this game. Money's coming in the over. I think I would lean to the under. Maybe wait till it gets late to 8.5 if it does. Although I guess the next move is probably down to 7.5. So shop around. If you can get an 8 or 8.5 in the morning, I would look there. Can't back the Padres at -150. Not really sure I want to back Logan Allen +130. So stay away from me for sure. Last game of the night is in LA, where the Dodgers send their young, I don't really want to say a prospect, but young righty, Michael Grove, to the hill. 25 innings, 8.28 ERA, 1.60 whip. And the White Sox counter with Dylan Cease already. 74 innings, 4.38 ERA, 81 strikeouts, 1.34 whip, but 34 walks. So 81 strikeouts and 74 innings, very impressive. 34 walks in 74 innings, not very impressive. And that is why he's got a 1.34 ERA. Now, the Dodgers come in at -150, Chicago +130. Total here is 9, juice to the under at -120. If anything, I might kind of lean the over. I see a slight lean to the over, 39% of the bets, but 42% of the money. So a little bit of more money coming in, more big money coming in as a percentage of the handle on the over. Dylan Cease has been very hot and cold and very inconsistent. It's tough going against the Dodgers, but Michael Grove is not pitching well, so can't really back him either. Against righties, though, the Dodgers are Dodgers are 14th in batting average, 246, 331 on base percentage puts them 7th, and a 452 slugging percentage puts them 3rd. So they are definitely hitting righties well. Not top of the class, but definitely doing much better than the White Sox, who have a, against righties, 230 batting average, which puts them at 25th in the league. 287 on-base percentage, which is brutal, puts them last. They have the worst batting average against on-base. Sorry, they have the worst on-base percentage against righties in all of Major League Baseball. And a 374 slugging percentage puts them 24th as well. So they're not hitting. The thing is, I'm not really sure Michael Grove can shut down them or shut down anybody. So I actually might look for a, if I can find it, a trying to pull up a DraftKings right now. A first five number, if it's 1.5, I'm definitely on the White Sox. And sorry, no, this is not fun podcasting, but I'm pulling up the DraftKings numbers. First five White Sox, over 1.5, minus 145. You know what? I think I might do that. I think I might do that. Don't usually like laying 145, but Grove has just struggled. I know Chicago's hitting poorly against righties, but they're not that bad. And this guy is just throwing meatballs up there. Again, 25 innings, 23 strikeouts, impressive, 1.6 whip, giving up more than a run and a half per inning. Can the White Sox score 1.5 in the first five? I think they can. So they're probably going to be on the White Sox, even though minus 145 is a pretty big number to get to grow for a couple runs. So hit all the games. Didn't hit Pittsburgh at Chicago, which is Johan Oviedo against Marcus Stroman. No number up on that. And that's about the only game with no number up on it. But I think I would lean the Cubbies. It's probably a weather. If the wind is blowing in, especially with Stroman on the mound, I could see it 7.5, 8. If the wind is blowing out, I could see it 8.5, 9. Either way, I think you have to back Stroman. The Cubbies probably come in as a minus, with him on the mound, minus 140, minus 145 favorite. Don't really want to lay that much. And on the run line, I could see them being minus 110, minus 105. So maybe even a plus money. But I back Stroman there, maybe a strikeout prop because Pittsburgh's prone to strikeouts, but don't see the line, so not on that yet. So we've got Philly's first five over 2.5. We've got Detroit, Minnesota under 8. We've got Colorado, Atlanta over 9. And a good chance we're going to have the White Sox first five over 1.5, even though the minus 145 juice is a little prohibitive. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you got some lean, some angle, some thoughts, some bets. Hopefully you can make money. Hopefully we can all make money. And hopefully for Thursday, June 15th, we're going to have a good day in sports betting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.